The following communication is that of Tagore. He was an Indian poet or writer. It's 22 minutes long. The sitters were Mr. George Woods and Mrs. Betty Green of Worthing. The medium was Mr. Leslie Flint.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. May I please you've come through? Thank you. I am very happy to come here to speak to you.
Hello, friend. I can hear you quite well.
Hear you quite well, friend. I am very interested in everything that is happening in regards to this work. I have been a long time endeavoring to assist from this side. Many people come, some you of course know very well, but many people you do not know who come. Many who assist and help. Of course, if it is possible, some of the other souls will eventually make themselves known, but it would be impossible for everyone to speak, but if it were so, it would mean you would have to sit every day, many days, many years, because there are so many, many people who are very interested. I was interested in this subject myself for a very long time before I come here. When I was in India, I listened to many of the souls who were interested in relations, in communication. Oh, it was not quite like this, of course, but in India there are many, many prophets, many seers, many very wonderful people who are in touch with the infinite. And though I did not know, as you know, exactly spiritualism, I was interested in the occult, I'm interested in all the aspects of this tremendous subject, and it was possible that I have the experience possible to have communication, but her idea was rather different. But nevertheless, it is all the same. Two different aspects of it is visible to various people in different ways, but each and every one has the aspect of the truth peculiar to themselves. You have been very fortunate that you have for yourself so much been given, so much of this knowledge. I was a great follower of Gandhi, but not altogether. I have great respect and admiration for Gandhi, but there were others that I was interested in Benares, where I spent much of my time. I listened to various souls. There was one extraordinary person there who I would go to, who was a remarkable man, but he was completely unknown outside India. Just a few people know of him among the rest of India, but outside and I was learning a great deal about the art of astral travel, and also being able to use the power of thought to achieve results which in themselves were often quite striking. I don't think the Western world knows sufficient, or indeed knows very little, about the power of the thought, of the inner soul, of the power that can be achieved by devotion, by introspection, by sitting calmly and placidly for a length of time each day in contemplation, in being able, as it were, to learn how to overcome the limitations of the flesh. Man has very little realization of how to overcome the self, how to release the real self, the true self, from the physical body. Far too much thought is given to the physical body. Far too much concentration of idea is given to material things. Whereas if man would learn to use the power of the self, the inner self, and concentrate on that, he would learn how to overcome, how indeed to do many of the things which are recorded in the great books of past times, the great Buddha and Jesus. All understood these thoughts of the inner self. That is how they were able to achieve and to do the things which has been recorded in history. In other words, they knew of the power of the inner self, the inner soul, how to use that power to overcome the limitations of the body. None of the limitations of the body. Once you began to realize the power of the inner soul, to use that power and to manifest it and to learn to overcome. Far too much restriction is placed on man because he does only think materially and does not think spiritually, does not think of the inner power of the soul, the indestructible, how to overcome the limitations of the flesh. Indeed, it would be a great thing if people would learn these truths, because it could change not only themselves individually, but it could change, of course, the whole world and the thinking of the world. And in consequence, the world itself would become truly a much better place. But there is so much destruction in man. There is so much bad thinking, wrong thinking. So much time and effort is given to the things which are unimportant, and no time at all is given to the things which are vital and real, the lasting things, the things of the soul, the things that are indestructible. You are spiritualists, as you call yourselves, know some aspects of the truth. But even then, even among the spiritualists that I have been in contact with, especially since I've been here, I have been to various places where spiritualists congregate together, and very seldom do I see any realization of truth in the highest sense. It's all on a very low material level, and in consequence they attract to themselves, many of them, souls who have very that I think it is nothing to that which you can achieve with the cooperation of the power of the spirit which is within yourselves, and linking up more highly, more mentally and spiritually with those selves that come to you, that assist you, that many whom you know. And as I say, there are many whom you do not know. I am very anxious to assist you, to help you, and I will be a little happy to do it.
Please, friend, may we have your name?
Well, my name, it will have no consequence be to you. I was myself, and indeed I had no desire to be otherwise, completely unknown. But if you wish, you may call me Tagore.
Tagore?
Tagore.
May I ask you something else? You were speaking about the power of thought. Now, of course, we read about, and of course we have been told, the power of thought is very strong. Now, in the spirit world, when they want to think of something, if they want to think of a mundane thing like a cup of tea, and they have it, how does that power of thought actually work?
Well, if, for instance, you concentrate your mind or your thoughts upon a certain thing, you have a word for an object, and that in itself can become a reality, because thought is a reality to us. It is something which can be directed in such a way that from the elements or the conditions of life in which we exist, there is a substance which can be, by the process of thought, so molded and used, even in the fraction of what you've done a second, into the actual appearance of that article which you have concentrated yourself upon. But although it has, to all outward appearances, a physical, inasmuch that you can pick it up, for instance, if you just pick up, it has only substance to the individual concerned, and then again, only as far as that power remains with the individual. Of course, obviously, after being here a very short time, you cease to desire such mundane things as cups of tea. But if you have a charlady, whoever she may be, who come here, who wishes for the proverbial cup of the tea, by the process of her thought desiring, she will make it so that it will be there. And it will not be as if it is by magic. In other words, what I mean is that the very makeup of the individual supplies the conditions and surroundings under which they will exist and live, and in consequence the things which are natural and essential to them will be there in the very first instance. So what is more natural than a person who has no particular ambitions in any sense, shall we say, on earth, who has lived a very mundane, a very ordinary sort of life, who has been used to sweeping out a house or making up beds or cooking, whatever it may be, that person will find that they will enter into a condition of life which is so similar to the outlook and that thought, that those things automatically will present themselves. They will be there, and so the proverbial cup of tea will be made in the proverbial way in which they have been accustomed. In other words, these things are in a sense material only to the individuals concerned, but they are really illusions. These things are purely on a brain vibration or a mental vibration of the brain, though I do not mean the physical brain in quite the same sense. You see, a person is no more than they think they are. If a person coming here thinks it is necessary to do all the routine, mundane things which they have been accustomed, if they think that body is the same as it was on earth, then all the functions and so on of the body will be the same for such time as they begin to realize that there is a change, and that they have not fully understood it, they have not fully accepted it, that they themselves are limiting themselves by their thought vibrations, and therefore they will remain until such time as they begin to think otherwise on those conditions which they themselves have created. In other words, we are all the product, as it were, of our own creative thought, no more and no less. But of course, the more highly evolved soul, that is why I say to you, if you have said and you have this realization of the inner power, the inner soul vibrational force which can manifest itself and in so doing alter and change the circumstances even in which you exist and live and work. So it is that this can apply in a material sense on your side. In other words, it can change the circumstances of life even. People do not realize, when people from your world say, oh, this is not good for me, why do these things not change and so on, they do not realize that they have the power in themselves to alter the very circumstances and conditions of their life. It is within themselves this power to change, but until they realize this power, there will be no change. It's because you can change not only your own way of thought and life, but also those near and dear to you. Of course, they also must have the desire for change, and they also must make the cooperation. But it is there, within all human life, there is the power to change, to be different, to alter, to become different in the sense that one becomes more spiritually aware and conscious. And many of the drawbacks and the complications of material existence will in consequence fade. All depends on the individual thought process.
And how did you find yourself?
Fortunately for me, I had traveled many times from the earth body into the spheres. I had entered into certain vibrationary rates of being and was conversant with various souls who had been here, some for centuries. It was not difficult for me. When the time came and I realized that I was drawing near to leaving the body for good, it was simple for me to release myself completely from the body. There was no pain, no suffering, there was no illness with me, because I knew how to release myself finally at the end without any of the conditions which so often appear with so many people. Disease is a thought force which is very prevalent in your world, because man himself has a diseased mind. When man ceases to think in a diseased way, you see, he will change. He will become healthy. When man thinks healthy thoughts, when he thinks spiritual thoughts, all from him will disappear. All the ailments of the earth, all the infirmities of the condition of earth, all these things which you suffer from are what man has created. Your world was a perfect world. Man has made it imperfect by his foolishness and his ignorance and his desire for self in the wrong way. Man thinks evil and therefore draws upon himself evil things. Think pure thoughts and you have a pure body and your whole life will be transformed. I wish very much for me to help you.
When were you yogi when you were on earth?
It can be called so. Yes. It is but a term.
Yes.
There are yogis and yogis. There are all kinds. India, there are so many.
What is your world like? Could you describe something that you're in?
So far removed from your world that words cannot describe it. And therefore you could not picturize it or imagine it, because your thoughts would not allow you to enter into that condition of life to which I belong. For you yourselves have not sufficiently transformed your thoughts and your outlook that you could reach anything that I could convey to you in that sense. My endeavoring to transfer to you thought pictures, which that is what it would amount to, of my world, would not register with you at this time. I'm afraid it would be impossible. All I can say to you is that the world in which I exist is so far removed from your conception of life that it is not possible, excepting that I may say to you as near as I can give to you, that if you could visualize all the natural beauties of your world without any of the imperfections, if you could realize all the beauties that you know of beyond even that which one can describe, that which you feel with the intensity of being within yourselves, even though you perhaps do not in a sense fully see it with the eyes of the flesh, if you can realize the intensity of love and the beauty and the reality of life in the highest possible sense, that is the only vague way in which it is possible for me or anyone else to give to you the picturization of something of our life. There is all beauty, all perfect love. There is all the opportunity for loving service in the highest sense, and the conditions under which we live are so far beyond description that one may only feel it, but not describe it. I do not know how it would be possible. But this I say to you, I and other souls here, I, Tagore, will help you, and I will if you give us the opportunity to give yourselves at least a little time of each day to withdraw from the earth and its conditions and transfer your thoughts on the highest possible level to which you are able to reach. We and others, many are souls who come, and we will assist you. It will assist you tremendously in the work you have undertaken. I realize you are doing a great work, but you do not realize the immensity of the task which lies before you, particularly if you take it onto the high plane which I and others are desirous that you shall do. You have received much instruction, you have received much guidance, you have received much help, much comfort has been given. But there is so much yet left to be revealed, so much which can only come gradually, step by step, you will climb to the heights. But when you have reached the heights of which we have searched, desiring for you, you will see, as you look back, how slow perhaps the climb has been, but how worthwhile it has become, because you will have gained such great and wonderful experience, and the vision of the Spirit that is given to you shall be great. We are very happy of that deed, that everything has been as it has been. And as you commence what you done, a new year, which may seem so important to you, and yet it is but the continuation, as we know. It is all time, within time, the same time. But nevertheless, I and others will help you, and you will see the coming months, as you tell them, will bring you great joy, great strength will be given to you, and great opportunity shall present itself, and we shall be with you, and we shall not fail you, for that which you are so often, as you have so often been told, that which we do together is greater than ourselves. We are but the servants of other souls greater than ourselves. We do the work of the great Spirit. It is a great joy to come to you, my children, and I give you my message.